Praise the Lord. I want to share with you a story about Cornelius. So if you turn to Acts chapter 10, the story has a lot of significance in that it shows or gives you a snapshot of how the New Testament believer was integrated into the body of Christ and what happens after you believe in Jesus kind of question. So some of you might think, well, is this all there is? You know, kind of thing. Well, there's a lot more that God has for us. You think that's true?
Yeah.
So let's just start. Father, we just ask you, Lord God, to bless this word. The Lord, penetrate our daily walks and our routines so we can understand and appreciate what you have done for us this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me apologize. I cooked my breakfast this morning and my eggs were a little too hot. I burned the top of my tongue. Not a very fun thing to face, but I'm not the first or the last. Okay. Chapter 10 of Acts, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. a devout man, and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So this is a story about this guy who is not a Jew or a believing Gentile, but just a person out there in the matrix of life. Whatever country you want to go to, there are always people like Cornelius who do good in the sight of God. Is that true? But there's something about the nature of our Lord that doesn't want to just leave Cornelius there in his blessing. He was a blessed man. So they say, well, the Lord has already blessed him, so what else does he need? You should be able to answer that one. Well, he needs Jesus, right? But how does he need Jesus? Different than how he has a knowledge of God now. He's already being blessed by God. He's already has the Spirit of the Lord within him to bring his whole household with him, that they need to love God too. And then he didn't just think it, he gave alms money generously to the people, which was never a Roman thing to do, or probably rarely a Roman thing to do. Well, something happens. Here it is, visitation. Now you can say about your life, well, yeah, if I had a visitation like this, I wouldn't be the old Cornelius anymore either. But let me tell you something about a visitation of God. It can happen in many different ways. In your life, it might happen in a dream or a prayer or by something somebody says to you. It suddenly gives you an epiphany. Say, wow, I didn't realize that. I never saw that before. And now I do. And now I'm going to act on it. See, if you just have the epiphany and the idea that God gives you, that's just the start. It's not the end. About the ninth hour of the day, so what's that, 3 o'clock, Bible scholars? He saw clearly in a vision. So he didn't actually see something except it was in a vision. A vision can be something like a dream, even a daydream. A vision can be an actual, so you see something. But anyway, he had a vision of the angel of God. How many have seen an angel of the Lord? A couple of them. Good. Well, you know, rationally, you guys are crazy. If you see something that's not there, you know, you probably need to go see a psychiatrist. However, when you see an angel of the Lord and discern that it is an angel of the Lord, that is a messenger from God, something in you changes. And the angel said to him, as most angels and or the presence of God always says, your first name. Cornelius. Remember we taught on Samuel. Cornelius. Paul. Whom else is he going to call today? Your name. You know, he kind of likes your name. Did you think about that? I can imagine the Lord himself calling out to his disciples. And before he would do that, he would imagine how they're going to react to his voice. Peter. Yes, Lord. Nathaniel. Yes, Lord. John. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's go have some barbecued fish on the beach. Yeah. Watch how they react. And he would just observe the love that they had for him and that he has for them. So it's really about this love affair we have with God. So he says, Cornelius, and Cornelius responds, but as typical, when you respond to the Lord, you might respond with a smile. But when you respond to an angel, it's almost always, if not always, fear. There's something, apparently, that angels cannot translate into their persona, and that's friendly, being friendly. Anyway, he says he was afraid, and he said, what is it, small L, Lord? Well, apparently, Cornelius has been praying. It's a dangerous thing to do, pray, because prayers have a weird way of being answered. You may not see it the way you want to see it, but God does answer prayer. Yeah. The angel says, your prayers and your alms, so it's not just your prayers, but also your giving, has come up before to God as a memorial, so testimony. So there's something of who you are and how your life has been playing out before the world that God has noticed. Wouldn't you like to be noticed? Stephen said, look, I see Jesus standing before the Father, looking down. That'd be a great smile. Be a nice smile on his face. It doesn't matter who's throwing stones. Smile when Jesus stands. Verse 5. Now send to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, names are not the same as they are today. Names are given as a meaning or a prophetic sense of who that person is. You can remember Jesus saying to Simon, Simon, you are no longer going to be called Simon, but Peter, the rock. So here, it's like, you send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Well, really, who cares? His name is Simon and his name is Peter. But we call him Peter because that's what the Lord called him. And it's interesting, if you want to say that's his surname, I don't know. I would call it his given name. But regardless, that's what the scripture says. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel had spoke to him, he departed. So he does a Star Trek thing. Gone. Yeah. Probably not the same. Well, Cornelius responds to the Lord, and he responds to the directive of his angels, as did Mary when Gabriel showed up. Remember, she said, be it unto me. So Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, someone who knew how to handle weapons, from among those who were waited on him continually. That's in there because Cornelius isn't just your next door neighbor. He has people that respond to him. I often ask God to have people like that in my life. Especially if I'm not feeling so well. But it's nice to have somebody cook breakfast or somebody mow the lawn or somebody do all my work for me. Well, Cornelius had those kinds of guys in his life. Wouldn't you like that? Well, in these United States, the world isn't built on that. built on those premises unless you're Congress. Verse 8. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So he didn't go himself, but he sent his entourage. Peter has a vision. In the meantime, now I think this is interesting. Most people think that church government is made by the decisions of elders. We'd like to think that, right, Paul? He's hesitant to say yes. That's a trick question. A lot of people say government should be made by committee. So eldership is like a committee. Committee government is common in the United States. So you have the executive committee for corporations, have a head of the committee, but the CEO, but if he may be strong or she might be strong or weak, it doesn't matter. You still have a plurality and you have a process to govern. Well, what does God do to govern? So he wants to change something in the church in the New Testament at a very critical time of the church in the New Testament, a very critical time, and he doesn't do it by committee. Sends an angel, visitation, like somebody gets a jolt, and he doesn't even, you know, there's no conference about this. He just does it. And this is what he says to Peter in the meantime. On the ninth day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. What? That was his thing to do. He liked to go on the roof. About the sixth hour, so that would be about noon, and he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. He was really hungry. And while they made it ready, he was making lunch, he was so hungry that he fell into a trance. Okay, so the next decision God's going to do for the church, he's going to do not by committee or an angel, he's going to do by a trance. If you were to come into the elders' meeting and tell me that story, I'd say, you need to go to another church. Yeah. I have a few I might suggest to you. But that's not how we govern in this church. We have elders that oversee and are charged with the oversight of what God is doing in the church. They really didn't have that to a very effective degree in the New Testament church as yet. So God has to use everything he can, hunger, thirst, and let's make him fall asleep, go into a trance. Not quite asleep, but he's in a trance. And he saw the heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound on four corners. And at that point, I would have opened my eyes and asked for a second cup of coffee. It's descended to him and let down to earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Well, to a Jewish boy, this is no way, Jose. Verse 14, Peter rose and said, not so, Lord. This must be a test. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. He was a good Jewish boy. And he wasn't about to break all the years he had sacrificed by wanting to eat something else, perhaps, like bacon. The voice spoke to him again a second time, and God, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And God said this three times. This was done three times. Then the object was taken back into heaven. If I had that dream or vision, I myself would have said, you're going to have to send an angel, Lord. I don't get this far. But you see, the Lord doesn't care. He knows his word will go forth and it will not return void to him. So whether he uses an angel or a trance, the Lord can speak to you. I have never seen an angel, you might say. I have never been that caught up in prayer or hunger or anything to be able to see a vision like that. But the Lord can use you and does. I know so many have prayed in this assembly, and I've heard not your mouth speak, but the Lord speak. It's the same thing. Well, Peter wondered within himself what this vision might mean. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, by the way, those guys, had made inquiry at Simon's house at that time. And they stood before the gate. So the Lord couldn't get a director to show this movie better. They called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Hello, anybody home? Does Simon live here? Does Peter live here? What's going on? Peter was still thinking about the vision. The Spirit said to him, behold, these men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, and they were sent forth from Cornelius, and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reasons have you come? Well, and they gave him the story. He said, I don't know, we're talking to a Jewish guy here. We can tell. There's a lot of ways you can tell. In those days, especially the way they dressed, their customs, everything. Cornelius, the centurion, and a caveat, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. So they spent the night. I don't know what the conversation was like at a dinner table, but I would have loved to have been there. You just won't believe Cornelius. You won't believe how much he loves the Lord and how much, an angel came to him and spoke to him in a vision. And Peter just takes it all in. Next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter and his entourage, it wasn't like the cardinals around the Pope, but it was Peter and his friends. New Testament isn't made with garments. There were large basilicas. It's made with people, real people, and the real Lord of heaven. Is that right? Now, the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them. They called together. My son's just sitting around, but he called together his relatives and close friends. Oh, we're having a good time. Come on, this is going to be good. The angel of the Lord came, and I don't know who Peter is, but he said Peter was going to tell us all we need to know. Well, what do you need to know? You love God, called according to his purpose. You're giving to people. What more could your life? It's blessed. You want to be more blessed? Well, yeah, they did. Cornelius wanted more blessings from the Lord, even though he was blessed. So we must want and should want more of the Lord, even though we have the Lord. Paul said, oh, that I would know him more. Amen. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius couldn't wait to meet him. Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped him. No, don't do this. Right? First thing when I saw that, or read that, it was like, no. But he was so overwhelmed that he just fell down and worshiped Peter. Peter didn't like that at all. He said, lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. I'm not even an angel, by the way. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So the whole group was there. So this wasn't a wasted sermon on just a few people. There were a lot of people there. And he said to them, let me tell you, first of all, it's unlawful for me to be here. It's unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. What I'm doing now is illegal. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was asked or sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent me? Well, Cornelius tells his story. Cornelius says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, so it wasn't like Peter was waiting for lunch, but Cornelius was fasting. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I think you can honestly say that most of the time when angels show up and you have a vision of an angel, they have on bright clothes. Just what Scripture says. Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Your donations or your money are remembered in the sight of God, not forgotten. God, you may think God has forgotten you, but sometimes it takes a while for God to respond because it has to be in God's plan. Is that right? What happened when God delivered the people of Israel? They cried unto the Lord for a long, long time, many years. And it was like the cries came on deaf ears of God. But no, God said no to Moses. He says, I have heard the cry and cries of my people. Wow, thank you, Lord. And he hears our cries too. If you're still in suffering from a disease, he hears your cry. And he will respond. Anyway, God sends to said to through the angel to Cornelius, send therefore to Joppa, call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. I like the way the New Testament often repeats itself. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Thank you. Now, therefore, we're all here, we're all present before God to hear all the things God commanded you or commanded you by God. Well, here it comes. Then Peter opened his mouth. He did something about what God has said to him, what God had wanted him to do. He didn't just passively do anything. He actively did what God wanted him to do. And he says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Now, he has made a statement there that will change the nature of the church forever. See, God didn't want Cornelius to be out there just being a good person, praying and giving his money away. God wanted him to go the next step. He wanted him to be in the church of God. We'll see that more as we go. He wanted him to see, he'd be giving his heart in repentance to Jesus. He wanted to see him be baptized in water, and he wanted him to see baptized in the Holy Spirit. All three. And he wanted him integrated into the church. And that's why he made that statement. In front of his entourage, his Jewish brothers, God shows no partiality. Now, why they didn't get that, a reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't get it. Because many times Jesus said, I came to the Jews first, but then I was given to the whole world. What did he say to the shepherds? He was given to the whole world. What did he say to the woman at the well? I've given to the whole world. Were they not listening? Did they forget that part? No, I think they're just such ingrained Jewishness in them, they could not accept the law that was been written on their hearts for many years, and they weren't going to just walk away from that without God interfering. How dare he? Without God interfering and say, this isn't the way it should be, Peter. I'm going to bring down a sheet from heaven. You're going to see all this stuff you shouldn't eat. And I'm going to say, that's not common and not unclean. If I provide it for you, you're going to eat it. No partiality, verse 35. But in every nation who fears him, every nation that fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Oh, I'm glad that's in the Bible. Because that's why I'm here. That's why you're here. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Yes. Peace through Jesus Christ. That's what the shepherd said. And the angel says he has come to bring peace on earth, a goodwill toward men, all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, Really? How does Peter know that except the Spirit revealed it to him? So Cornelius has already heard part of this testimony. He began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Cornelius knew something about this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witness of these things, just looking at his Jewish brothers, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they killed by hanging on a tree on which he was killed. God raised him up on the third day, showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him, after he rose from the dead. Imagine Peter sharing that. I can't imagine him sharing it without a lot of emotion. He came to us. He came back to us. Now imagine Jesus going up to Thomas and saying, I can't wait to see Thomas's face. Here, Thomas, let me see your hand. Yeah. And put it in his side.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I want to see the rerun of that one. We were witnesses. Even to us who drank and ate with him, he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, to testify. It is he who has ordained God to be judge over the living and the dead. Now that's an important doctrine too. There is only one judge over the living and the dead, and that is the Lord Jesus. Verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. That's why the Pharisees would come to Jesus so often and say, what gives you the right to do this? They knew someone had the right to do it, but they didn't think it was him. Now, right in the middle of his sermon, right in the middle of him waiting for lunch, he's hungry. Right in the middle of life, everybody, Cornelius is happy, he's being blessed. Cornelius' household is happy, they're being blessed. Right in the middle of these things, God does something totally out of our character, but in the character of Christ. While he was still speaking these words, in the middle of the sentence, probably, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And what do you mean by that? Well, it says, and those of the circumcision believed and were astonished, for as many as came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that they saw the Spirit come down, but they had been poured down on the Gentiles also, Cornelius' household, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. How rude! I can just imagine Peter saying, I haven't finished my sermon yet. We really should go back to Jerusalem and clear this with the guys before we do something this crazy. So often the Lord does crazy things because he doesn't want us to get in the way. Maybe you can think back in a testimony of your own life. Maybe it was just yesterday. God interrupted something you were doing to give you a vision and understanding of the Godhead, the eternal nature of our Lord, and yet at the same time, his personal love toward us. I had a dream the other day, and my father came in a dream and just wanted to hang out with me. That is my earthly father. I never had a relationship with him until after I was saved. He didn't want to say anything. He just wanted to be with me. And I thought, wow, that was a weird dream. I'm not sure I even believe it's true. But I know one thing. That our Father in heaven just wants to be with us.
That's right.
I know one thing. That our Jesus, my Lord and Savior, creator of heaven and earth, wants to be with me and call my name. And I have heard him call my name. Anybody else? Maybe you haven't heard much of the Lord. But when he calls your name, you know it.
Yeah.
That's what John said. They hear his voice and they know who he is. Those who love God.
Yeah.
Well, at that Peter throws up his hands. It doesn't say that, but I can imagine. Can anyone forbid water? But these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have. Well, let's do it. I mean, come on, let's get this up. They should have been baptized before. If you want to go by the baseball diamond thing, you know, you're saved, you get baptized with water, and then baptized in the Spirit. But these poor guys, you know, they got the Spirit before they were baptized in water. How dare the Lord do this? Somebody didn't tell him he wasn't God. He is God. So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That is the Lord Jesus. And then they asked him to stay a few more days. Wouldn't you want to have Peter hanging out for them? Yeah. You already know he's a hungry guy, so feed him food. So that's, God can modify, change major decisions in the church. God can interfere in the life of a well-mannered person. Say, you know, you don't have all the blessings that I have for you. The real blessing you really need, Cornelius, is to be baptized in water. The real blessing that you need, Cornelius, is to be baptized in the Spirit. The real lesson you need, Cornelius, is to be baptized or integrated into the Church of Christ, of which you now are. And I can imagine, Peter, stay with us a few more days. Now, the word went out from there pretty fast. It says, now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So they must have had a runner. Well, I'm going back to Jerusalem and tell the guys what's going on. And when Peter came up from Jerusalem a little later, those of the circumcision, that is, those who were still going by the law, contended with him, saying, you went in with the uncircumcised men and ate with them? The church and what the church was integrated with was so married to the law that it could not be unmarried. In fact, that's really what Romans 7 and 8 is about. Romans 8:1 says, now therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That therefore is referring to the whole chapter of 7. Now therefore, you are not married to the law anymore. There's no condemnation. There's nothing unclean for you to eat. The Lord has gone before you. Isn't it cool how the scripture comes together? It's because there's one Lord, one scripture, one voice, one word. Well, that was a time for silence. Now, I wish that would happen more in Congress than it does. In fact, they were telling me, and I think it was the media, all left and right, were saying that the halls of Congress have changed. There's a lot more swearing these days, not just the Lord's name, but every foul word you can possibly imagine. For really no reason. Things haven't really changed for them. It's been like that forever. But there's something that's changed. There's an evil texture that the enemy is trying to weave into our government that is not right, and we should stand against it in prayer. Can we stand against that in prayer? Father, we just stand against it in Jesus' name. Well, they didn't start swearing. Verse 18, they had the opposite effect. When they heard these things, now, by the way, verse 4 all the way through 17, Peter reiterates everything that they just did. And so we don't have to do that because we just heard it. But they didn't hear it, so he says the whole thing over again. And then when they heard these things, they became silent, hearing the testimony of the angels, hearing the testimony of Cornelius, hearing the testimony of his household, and how God had gone before Peter. How God interrupted him. And when they had heard these things in verse 18, they became silent. They didn't start swearing. I didn't start a super PAC. I didn't do any of those things. They became silent. And the next thing they did, which they should all, we should all do, is to glorify God. Not man, not Peter, not Cornelius. They glorified God. And God says, then God also has granted to the Gentiles, what has he granted them? This is what they said. These are the guys that were in the law. God has granted the Gentiles repentance to life. What was life? Life was water baptism, repentance, baptism of the Spirit, integration into the church. So they can no longer say, well, Caesarea is not part of the Lord's work. It certainly is. So it's to us to know in this day, in this hour, who God is calling. You know, if I know Jessica, excuse me. Jessica Scott would often pray for Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. I would like shiver when she did it. But she would often pray because she knew that she was her enemy. I knew she was my enemy because I'm a member of the National Rifle Association, and she says I don't belong in New York as a citizen. So she's already made me an illegal resident. But she would pray for Kathy Hochul. So I have started a new prayer life too. For the enemies of the Lord are numerous. But it's not just the enemies of the Lord that I'm praying for in the context of their deeds. I'm praying against the evil that has been planted in their heart. It isn't just that they're doing stupid, bad things. Now they're doing evil things to righteous people, prohibiting the word of the Lord from going forth in Gaza, for example. Wouldn't it have been nice for the nations of the earth to say, you guys really need to repent before God and become one nation in Israel and give up all of these crazy notions about Muhammad. There is only one Lord, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm just looking at your smiles. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. How you are so dedicated and faithful to us that you would interfere with our systems of management, our government, how dare you, our plans for the weekend, our plans for the week, our plans for the month, our plans for spring, for this year, for the next 5 years, and however long you have plans for. Lord, we submit to your government. We submit to your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for more of the voice of the Holy Spirit to openly manifest itself in our midst, in tongues and not tongues. Paul says, I wish you would all prophesy. And those that do, that there would be interpretation, that we would understand the voice of God, not just hear it. And so, God, we have heard your voice. Call us to your side in this love affair you have for us. And so often, our songs are just that. Just, Lord, we love you. We love you. It's the message over and over and over again. And your message back to us, I love you, my church. I love you, my church. I love you, my people. I love you personally. And he calls your name. And I pray, Lord God, that we would all be open to hearing as we pray, as Cornelius prayed, the voice of the Lord. When he said, Cornelius, he knew it was God. Even if it was an angel, he still knew it was God. Lord, that there would be more manifestations of your holiness and grace in our midst. And that people would look upon us not as, boy, they sure did it right. If that's a good worship, good praying, whatever. No, they would say, look how much they love each other. Why do they love each other like that? Because we have ideations of a smile that you haven't smiled yet. O God. Our ideations are not of hate or evil or anger. And if they are, Lord, we repent and we turn away from those things. And we ask you to put on us a garment of loving kindness. Now, I don't know how that can happen in your life. I know how it can happen in mine. He has to first expose it. And then you have to put on his righteousness. But you first have to see that you need to be changed. So, Father, we put off anger. Lord, we put off frustration. It's easy to be angry and frustrated today. We put them off. Those garments we take off, throw them on the floor. We put on kindness, love, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.